Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Colorado Secretary of State says SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States, should not force state to keep Trump on the ballot. This is HuffPost reporting. There are many other sources. Gina Griswold, Colorado Secretary of State, urged the U.S. Supreme Court in a brief to affirm a decision by Colorado State's High Court to remove Donald Trump from the ballot, citing the insurrection clause of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. The hearing before the Supreme Court is now scheduled for the 8th of February, within days. I welcome Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution. He's traveling. He's in the great state of Texas to comment on an update on a matter we've confronted before. You will recall some weeks ago, Colorado was followed by Maine, removing or claiming that it was going to remove Donald Trump's name from the primary ballot. And other states, we're told up to 33 states, are watching for the direction of the Supreme Court to know whether they can or cannot debate this matter. Professor, a very good evening to you. I have read through the brief by Gina Griswold with my amateur eyes. And the phrase that is repeated that seems most relevant is that the brief declares Donald Trump, quote, ineligible insurrectionist, end quote, pointing to what you know very well, the 14th Amendment, Section 3. The petition before the Supreme Court, what weight does that have now, Professor? The Colorado State Secretary of State, does she stand before the court and make her case? Does someone represent her? Good evening to you.
Well, in terms of procedure, clearly somebody has to bring that. I would have thought the person who would brought it would not be her, but the Attorney General of the state, Phil Weiser. And if that is going to go forward, it will be surely a blockbuster argument. The questions here are many, and the first one is she calls him an insurrectionist, but what's the definition of an insurrection? One of the extraordinary things about the Colorado decision is the definition of an insurrectionist is basically anybody who obstructs any election at any time by two or more people. The precise definition is if there are two or more people acting together in concert who use or threaten the use of force to keep anybody from affecting the outcome of a democratic procedure, that's an insurrection. Well, by that definition, there have probably been millions of insurrections in the United States. And it critically misses the element that everybody else thinks with respect to an insurrection. It still has to be in a serious way armed. It has to be prolonged. It has to be not to try to change the outcome of a ballot decision, but to overthrow a government by force and violence. And nobody said that what Trump was trying to do is essentially stage some kind of a coup. What they said is he wanted to send things back to the state for a recount. And that itself may be completely unwise, but I don't think it counts as anything close. The second thing I think one wants to say is the most important provision of the 14th Amendment, Section 3, for these purposes, is the question of what counts as a person who's covered. And you'll note the president is not listed, but electors for the president and the vice president are listed. So what's going on is essentially in the aftermath of the Civil War, there was a great concern that people who were formerly involved with the rebellion would, in effect, within their states, get some kind of power. And by the electors are chosen at the state level, and so you could have people in Virginia or whatever it is come on this thing, and they wanted to stop that. So if you then decide that these people cannot become electors, you then get a clean, basically, electoral college, and there's no need to sanction the president separately because you've handled this by dealing with these other people. That's the structural argument that does it. And by this circumstance, you can't say, oh, the president is now an officer, even though he's not mentioned. The officers they're referring to are appointed officials who are appointed by the President of the United States under the Appointments Clause. So I think the whole thing is just sort of bonkers. The idea that this thing is self-enforcing is also crazy. The definition of self-enforcing comes from the 14th Amendment, and it involved those cases where people were declared to be citizens of the United States if they were born in the United States and residents thereof. That was meant to overturn Dred Scott, and it was meant to do so in a way which required no legislation whatsoever. In this thing, they're saying, aha, it's self-enforcing, means everybody in the country can have different procedures in different states for a national election. So if Illinois and California put them on the ballot, that doesn't stop Colorado from taking them off. A federal election has to have a uniform standard. So what should the Supreme Court do under these circumstances? I think it's perfectly clear that they have to stop this before it goes any further. They can't say, oh, the case is not right, or you don't have standing. That leaves everything to fester. What they have to say is the 14th Amendment is inapplicable to the political process. It only applies to those people who have appointed offices under the president, and the sole remedy is that the Congress could disqualify themselves. This system, the Congress has no role to play. The president wins in the Electoral College. What are they going to do to disqualify him? So the whole string of their argument is you devise an entirely separate new constitution to get the president of the United States, because he's the only person who is not covered by the explicit provision. So this is fantasy. I regard the effort to sort of make this thing move as one of the most destructive and harmful activities in the history of the Republic. If somebody wants to vote against Trump, that is certainly their privilege. They don't have to explain or justify it to you or to me or to anybody else. But to say that this is in the force of defense of democracy is, I think, really wrong. So I would just throw her out on her ears and end this thing entirely. Anything which says it's a state function is crazy. These are national elections. And what happens is when you have national elections, there has to be national oversight of what is going on. And to say by implication that this case is something that you can do to deal with this is a perversion of the 14th Amendment. This is one of the things on which I feel really strongly about, that this is the most anti-democratic, most dangerous situation. And if it could work here, given their definition of an insurrection, virtually everybody they want to go after could be subject to multiple prosecutions in multiple ways under a set of rules that are going to be defined differently in each state with different outcomes in each state. That's not the way to run a railroad. It's not the way to run a railroad.
I read from the brief argument. Colorado may exclude ineligible insurrectionists from its presidential primary ballots. Professor, it occurs to me that as an amateur reading this, I need to know what ineligible insurrectionists mean. Is that the job of the court to define ineligible insurrectionists?
Well, it turns out if you had a case where insurrections were litigated, it would have to be a judicial determination, which would take into advisement customary use. And so that would be a judicial question. The understanding at the time was that this was a no-brainer, because an insurrection was somebody who worked for the South, either in a political or a military capacity. And that was a matter of public record.
And so they did not define it in the 14th Amendment. Does it need a definition now?
Well, it does, because there's nobody here who's fought in the Civil War. So what you have to do is to come up with a definition for which there's no legislative history.
And is that the Supreme Court's job? Will they have to say this is what insurrection means and therefore, and then make a decision?
Yes or no. If they go the way I suggested, which is say that the president is not covered by the 14th Amendment, they don't have to.
That would be a textual answer. Would that satisfy your understanding of the brief from Colorado? And Donald Trump has a brief as well saying that he is eligible and that the Colorado's Supreme Court has moved beyond its powers.
Well, I think the Trump brief is correct. If the president is not an officer covered by this particular section, and then everything that followed about insurrections is inapplicable. If they decide incorrectly, in my view, that somehow or the is covered, then in effect they'd have to define an insurrection, but they would have to do it against the background in which the only insurrectionists are people fought in a war against the United States. And so it would take a great deal of massaging to do with no precedents and no legislative history. We've had serious insurrections. At the end of the Spanish-American War, for example, the United States conquered the Philippines, and there was an insurrection going on there. And what President McKinley said, suppress the insurrection. But those were guys hiding in the field that had weapons, militaries, and organized campaign structure. This wasn't a bunch of ragtag people taking selfies inside the government. Interference with an election is not an insurrection.
All right, let me look at it in another way. I'm reading the brief as carefully as I can. Colorado asserts that the method that has been used heretofore. 50 states have 50 different elections. The federal government does not run the election. Colorado is saying, these are our standards. This is how we run each of our election, and we've declared this to be an ineligible insurrectionist. The Supreme Court overrides that, even though...
I mean, let's put it this way. If they're crazy and they think that this works, suppose you repeal the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment that wasn't there. They can say, well, we run our own election. We decide this is an election, an insurrection, and we're going to knock it out.
All right, but I'm looking for what the Supreme Court then can do. You believe it will? It may define insurrection, but at the same time, does that comport with the general understanding that Mr. Roberts wants to stay out of the election?
Well, my view is the way to stay out of the election is to say that the courts have no role and that the situation is one that's governed by federal people. If you look at the election clauses, it turns out they talk about the time, place, and manner of elections, which is delegated to the state. This is not a time, place, or manner stuff. Now, the eligibility cases that have come up have been no-brainer cases. I'm 32 years old, but I'm running for president. You have to keep somebody at the office because independent of anything that anybody says, he's not eligible, and it's a clear definition. What they're trying to do is to say their power to handle clear cases that everybody agrees are correct gives them the power to take a nebulous standard like insurrection and to define it in a way that they see fit and therefore to upset the particular process. If you remember when they did the stuff having to do with ages, nobody raised a peep about anything because they were ministerial acts. People know that 32 is less than 35. This is nothing whatsoever to do with these kinds of cases. And it's just a massive usurpation of power, and they should not be allowed to get away with it. The way the court stays out of this is to say that this was left to the political process and that it has to decide this thing. And so if they don't say that, then every state's going to use a different definition of insurrection, come out with different kinds of results, and you'll have a tainted federal election. Could you imagine if, in fact, Trump was won, say, about 240 votes, and there were states having 40 votes or 50 votes who declared him off the ballot?
Yes, I can imagine. Yes, we both can imagine it.
But just crazy. Yes, I mean, that's just not the way you run a democracy.
Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, he teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. He's traveling, and I call upon him to comment on another matter that's before us right now within these hours. The War Powers Resolution, 1973. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.